الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته الإمام راع ومسؤول عن رعيته والرجل راع في أهله ومسؤول عن رعيته والمرأة راعية في بيت زوجها ومسؤول عن رعيتها والخادم راع في مال سيده ومسؤول عن رعيته وكلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. Firstly, before getting into our topic, we need to make tremendous shukr to Allah Ta'ala for this majlis and all programs like this. In this past month and in the coming month, there's been an influx of mashayikh and sheikhs into this country, and they are charging for the sessions. Here, we've asked you just to bring your bedding and to open your heart and your mind, inshallah, to accept what's going on here. Unfortunately, due to the celebrity culture which has entered us, we tend to steer away from the people with simple talk, and we flock to those who are able to present their content very well and entertain the audiences. So Hazrat has mentioned before that we need to just pause, scratch the surface a little, make some tafakkur, think a little, is what is being presented to me and how it's being presented. Is it actually according to Quran and Sunnah, according to Sharia, and according to the way our elders have taught us? Don't just fall out everything that's spewed at us. So no doubt, Iman is the greatest gift. There is nothing greater than this gift of Iman that Allah Ta'ala has given us. So this effort of tazkiyah, the primary effort is to correct the Iman and Yaqeen of a person. Because if in this heart is no Iman or the incorrect Yaqeen, then this is not a Qalb-e Saleem. And this heart will be of no avail to us at the time when we need it most, and that is when we depart from this temporary dunya. And that leads us somewhat to our topic for today. To force someone to think or believe something, and by continuously telling them that it is true and not giving them the opportunity to actually think about it properly, this is called brainwashing. So if we look at the 2 years which passed during the pandemic, we'll see that there was a bombardment of information to us all the time. It was either in social media or printed media, or we'd find it in shops or workplaces, and at times even in the masajid, stating that if you're not responsible and you didn't act according to certain protocols and in a certain manner, then you were likely to die, or there was a possibility that you could kill someone. So effective was this brainwashing that when we greeted each other, we were elbowing each other, and for prolonged periods of time, we refrained from visiting our friends and our family, and it resulted in us leaving ample gap for shaitan to come into the sufuf between us. And this was the effect of this brainwashing. So what happened was that this brainwashing in the sphere, it resulted in yaqeen, our conviction, going on to zahiri asbab, meaning the outward means. On jabs and masks and distancing, to the extent that we almost felt that we were in control of sickness and of death. Now, what if I told you that we ourselves are voluntarily handing ourselves over to some form of brainwashing? See, in years gone by, education was associated with the home, with the family, with the neighborhood, and in places like the United States and Europe, with the church. Now, it's not like that. Education is handled by the state, and it's made compulsory by the state. So when we hand over our kids to the secular system, and we say, you teach them whatever you feel is best, while I go off to work, and then when these kids grow up to be young adults, when we see the result of what the system is, then we question ourselves and think, how did it happen that my child doesn't reflect my beliefs, or my morals, or my values, and Allah forbid that it doesn't reflect my iman, right? Well, if you for 6 to 8 hours for 12 years you send them into the grooming of the system. So what is secularism? Secularism is defined as, it's a system of principles and practices that reject any form of faith. In a secular system, legislation and legal rulings are conferred to humans. So what does this mean? It means that in this system, God, Allah Ta'ala, has no right to determine the rulings. This is what secularism is. And secular education is that education which actually promotes this ideology. Hazrat Maulana Imran Qazi Sahab has written an excellent kitab defining what the different types of ilm means and what the effect of it is. It would be a good idea for all of us to go and read it. It's called Ilm, Islamic Knowledge and Secular Education. I don't get any commission for punting the kitab here though. So what is the effect of the system? What is the effect of the secular system here? Today we won't focus on the outward vices and evils of the environment which the secular education is given. We'll focus on three different aspects. So one is independence, and one is mindset, and the third is content. So independence is basically got to do a little bit with the dunya. So many of the tasks or jobs which the average human being is capable of doing just by reading or by having a little training, these have been put out of reach. These have been put out of reach. Why? Because it's been formalized into a course or a diploma or a degree. So we no longer attempt to do something which we're capable of, because the system dictates that only a person who's qualified to do so can do it. So what the system produces, it takes away independent thinking, and it produces people who have become a cog in the system which they want. The second thing is the mindset. So the mindset, this Western education system has basically become an extension of the capitalist philosophy of maximizing profit. So this system produces individuals who can earn rather than serve, where the dini system produces individuals who can serve rather than earn. Right? Now, because Allah Ta'ala has been removed from this system completely, Allah Ta'ala being Ar-Razzaq is either distanced from the heart, and at times it's even eliminated from the heart. So it seems that the more acronyms and the more alphabets I have before my name or after my name, or the degrees I have, or the number of overtime hours I work, or the result of my performance appraisal, these actually determine my risk. And because Allah Ta'ala has been distanced from risk, in this system, it's very rare that I find myself going onto the musalla and begging Allah Ta'ala to make my risk easy for me. Or Allah grant it to me in such a way that I do not break any of your commands. And we ourselves are guilty of fueling the system. How? See, a child goes through maktab, and he goes through the elementary and memorization phase of maktab. And he gets to grade 6, grade 7, when now he is able to understand the deeper concepts of deen, the deeper concepts of aqidah, of belief, of fiqh, of some hadith is taught to him, zakat, inheritance, all the things which are extremely necessary for him to live his life as a Muslim in obedience of the command of Allah Ta'ala. But then the letter comes, "Dear Mulana, Imran will not be able to attend maktab on a Monday, Wednesday and half of Friday because he's finding difficulty in math, accounting and science, so we have to send him for tuition." By grade 8 or grade 9, the load is too much, so the child is out of the maktab already. Another option we take is that now we enroll him for an online maktab. New thing is the online maktab. So, so we are rolling into an online maktab. So let's listen to the word, so that he can watch the recorded lessons, not that he can attend the classes, so that he can watch the recorded lessons after he has done his school homework and he finished with his extracurricular activities. So we ourselves have created this mindset in our children that your deen is always secondary. Then the third thing we talk about is content. So many, many years ago, the secular system, people could argue that it was actually neutral. That it wasn't anti-Allah, it wasn't anti-religion, it just was just void of it. That's what people would say. But today, that's completely wrong. Today, secularism is anti-Allah, it is anti-religion, it is anti-Iman, and it is against Iman, it's fighting against Iman. So, for this section, I'll be reading out some of the content which comes in the textbooks and all that to make us understand, right? A summary of Darwin's theory of evolution states, and Darwin's theory of evolution is common now in the syllabus. It's in the South African syllabus here. A summary of Darwin's theory of evolution states, Darwin introduced his theory of evolution by natural selection. His goal was to show that life was not the result of divine intervention, but the work of blind, naturalistic processes. A careful study of Gowan's writing, especially in his posthumously published private notebooks and personal communications, meaning the stuff that was published after he died, his personal communications and his notebooks, reveals that Darwin was indeed an atheist, and his theory of natural selection was formulated, why? To replace the creator with naturalistic processes. So simply put, via this theory, in the system teaches kids that they are actually animals, and that there is no Allah, and that they are the product of evolution. So what is the state of the iman of a child who actually believes this? In a grade 6 geography textbook, South African geography textbook, when explaining religions in South Africa, you turn to the religion on Islam, it's got a picture of the Archangel Gabriel, right, with a cloak and a halo and wings. This is how they depict Jibreel alayhi salam. The picture is already formed in the child's head. And next to it it states, the Quran is the word of Muhammad. It's all said. In a grade 5 English textbook, in a comprehension which talks about Chef Yusuf, in Cape Town, it describes a little boy who was the slave on Zanzibar, on the farm there. And he had a dream wherein Chef Yusuf came to him and explained to him where his qabr was. So after, in this comprehension, in this passage, it explains, the boy is a slave from amongst the slaves there on Zanzibar. And he goes and he explains to his people where the qabr of Chef Yusuf is there. So this is what the last line, towards the last line of the passage states here. The slaves visited the grave of Sheikh Joseph and asked him to help with their troubles. See how subtle it is. See how subtle it is there. So the second thing in the syllabi is the CSE. And now I'll have to substitute words and leave it to your imagination, right? To understand the gravity of what's being taught, we will read some of the content, and when necessary, the words will be substituted and left to your imagination. So CSE is comprehensive, you know the word with the S, education, right? Now let's understand the origins of this education first here. The material for the CSE was developed in close collaboration with UNESCO, United Nations, and the UNITGSE. So this is the section of the UN, United Nations, which focuses on this type of education. The DBE, that is our Department of Basic Education in South Africa, says parents are failing dismally in educating their children about relations. That's not the word. That is why we need to step up as a government. The rollout is keeping with the purpose of an international grant of 375 million rand received from USAID, an organization, USAID. Yes. In May 2019, an article was published in the South African media stating, from next year, meaning 2022, textbooks for pupils in grade 4 to 12, which was standard 2, now I'm giving my age away, but anyway, grade 4 to 12, will reflect a cutting-edge curriculum. This is what it says, cutting-edge curriculum that treats, the word is with an M, and we refer to it as self-pleasure, or what you say, taking matters into your own hands, that treats self-pleasure and consent for relations, that's a different word to use there, gender non-conformity, meaning you don't agree with what your gender is, and single parent families as what? As mainstream. This was 2020. So this last part is quite important where it says as single parent families as mainstream, and we'll get to that a little later. So just to tell you what's in the grade 4 syllabus. In the grade 4 syllabus, you won't find your child identifying his body parts by the rhyme head, shoulders, knees and toes anymore. So in the workbook is a picture of a little boy and a little girl who are completely exposed. Right? So the first task in the worksheet says, using a pencil crayon, color in the parts of the body you think are your private parts. Next, it goes on. You are now going to work in small groups. Grade 4. So this is a 9 or 10 year old child we're talking about. You are now going to work in small groups. In your groups, discuss the following. Which parts of your body are private? Right. There are other worksheets and passages, this is from my side, there are other worksheets and passages explaining homosexuality, but these things can't be read out here. And they all disguise in stories of people who are being abused or bullied, and they require assistance and support. But they're too vile to mention here. So in grade 5, disguised in a section under relationship advice. This is just talking about relationship advice. What comes in here? You overhear your cousin tell your sister that she likes another girl and would like to be in a relationship with her. This is how subtly they bring it here. Your sister does not know what advice to give her. Grade 7. Moving on to the grade 7 syllabus. Grade 7 says, again, that self-pleasure, taking matters into our own hands, that word with the M, that self-pleasure is normal and will not hurt you. Right? In grade 7, again, with regard to the use of contraception, this is what they talk about. Each person in your small group will take a turn in performing, will take a turn performing a part in one of two role plays, and also take a turn on being an observer. It is not sufficient to simply write a script. You must also perform one. Grade 8 talks about reproductive health, unsafe abortion, and post-abortion care. Right? Promoting abortion completely. Then it goes on to say, describe what happens, and they list here the three types of intercourse. So we can't even mention that. And there's more on the subject matter and material. It just can't be mentioned. It's too vile. So this system, it claims to make kids intelligent and giving them facts and information. But if the child's whole outlook of life, if his morals, if his akhlaq, if his character, if everything is corrupted as the system does, and iman is washed out of his heart, then all the system is producing is a bunch of clever atheist devils. That's what happened in here. So what is the result of a genie system? So a pious man in Ihya, the story comes, this kisah comes, that a pious man narrates that in my neighborhood there was a man who was addicted to liquor, and he passed away. This pious man narrates that I made dua to Allah Ta'ala to show me this man in a dream, and I was shown to me in a dream 6 years later. 6 years later he was shown to me in a dream. And I asked this man how Allah Ta'ala had dealt with him. He said, after I had passed away, Allah Ta'ala had dispatched me to Jahannam. And for every sip of liquor I took, I received a thousand lashes with a whip of fire. He said, but at the time when I passed away, my wife was pregnant, and she gave birth to a little boy afterwards. When the child began to speak, and he said the words, La ilaha illallah, then Allah Ta'ala removed me from Jahannam. Right? This is the effect of the dini system. He says, when the child went on to become 5 and entered the madrasa, the ustad taught him the word Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. When the child uttered the word Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Allah Ta'ala put me in Jannat and granted me what no eye has seen and what no ear has heard. So this is the effect of the dini system. We need to understand this. Now, while reading up on these topics, I came across a book that was authored by a non-Muslim author who was trying to do good by his kids. And then what was realized from here was that these people are looking for what deen has given to us. And even more amazing is that we are giving up what they are looking for, and we are taking what they are throwing away. So, and honestly, it's the simple stuff that we are taught every day and we advise about every day. So just to give an example, a concept he mentions is that for your children, you need to imagine what you need to imagine your kids at the end of the road, and what you want from them and what you want for them. And then you backtrack and you put into place all the systems you need to get them there. Right? So what is this? As it teaches us, every morning when you wake up and you're struggling to get out of the bed and you're wiggling your toes and make a niyat, oh Allah, I am loving, my objective of my life is akhirat, and to obey you, to live in your obedience. And then what will happen from there is that I will make sure and I will prioritize that everything in the life of my child is put in order so that they grow up in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. So another concept that was mentioned was that to create a love of reading in the child, and take time out to sit with your children and read, and put in front of them books which are containing morals and values and strength. So what is this? Iqra. And what else? It's ta'aleem. Fazaila amal, fazaila sadaqat. It's simple as that. These people are looking for what we have here. Moving on. The LMNOPQ+ people. So one of their main agendas that they are forcing now is the T in the acronym, right? And it's somebody who doesn't identify with their birth gender. Basically, you were born a female, and na'udhu billah, you feel that Allah Ta'ala has assigned the wrong gender to you, so you want to transform into a male, and vice versa. Now, understand how crazy this is. It was only a few months back in the United States that a transgender female impregnated 2 female prisoners in a female-only prison. Understand how crazy this is. Now you will think to yourself, what is this guy going on about? Why is he talking about all of these things? While we were in lockdown, a lot of these things, these agendas were pushed under our noses. So in 2020, there were already proposals being drafted on how these things will be incorporated into our schools, unisex bathrooms, how the sport will be, excursions will be, the uniforms will be. You can go on the internet and see, just search for Western Cape draft on LGBTQ. Right? So, the feminists and the liberals and the modernists, they claim they are liberating women. And they're fighting for gender equality. But this is also a false claim, it's a lie. It's all a lie. Because you don't find any feminist claiming, I want an equal job opportunity in bricklaying, or in building, or to dig trenches on the side of the road in the entire day in the scorching heat. You don't find them screaming that. So a great alim of our time, a great Mufti of our time, he says that in order to understand something, you need to simplify it. You need to wipe off all the big words, you need to simplify it. But you need to contain its essence, without losing its essence. So if you look at what feminism has done, feminism has actually paid women to take off their clothes and it's prosecuted them for covering up. Right? Feminism, what it has done, is it applauds Muslim women. It applauds Muslim women when they run with 13,000 other people from Pietermaritzburg to Durban. Right? And a woman is working for some strange man. It seems as progressive. But when she does for the same for her husband, then it seems oppressive. So this is what the feminist mindset does. Anyways, if you analyze what's happening with both these fitness, the LMNOP class people and feminism, they are reversing the roles of women in society. They're basically turning them into men. One is either physically and one is ideologically. Right? Now, just think about this a little. When I have liberated my daughter or my sister or my wife or my mother and I've sent her into the working environment, have I not done exactly what these people are intending? I have changed the role of this Muslim woman into a man. I've turned her into a breadwinner. Right? And when you look at all the different fitnas around us today, like this LMNOPQ plus things, same-sex marriages being written into law, divorce is no longer considered as something which is a plague. It's the moral alternative way out. They don't use the word adultery or fornication anymore. They call it extramarital relationships. They've watered it down like that, right? Porn, transgender, modernism, feminism. You notice that one common theme here is destruction of the family unit. Because a solid structure, a solid family unit breeds morals, it breeds akira, it breeds akhlaq. And if each family in a community is like that, it builds a strong society. That's what results in a strong family. So all this fitting, one common aim is there is to destroy the family structure. So now, women being liberated and sent into the working environment is actually one of the core contributing factors into this breakdown in society. But instead of liberating these women, what we've actually done is we've degraded them. So we've sent them through this filthy schooling system and made them acquire academic excellence. And then we sent them out into the university, right, where there's a whole list of vice and evil that and attractions that they got. And then they end up in the working environment. So they have to wake up early and have to rush, brave the traffic in either the cold winter mornings or the hot summer days, slog for someone else the entire day, again brave the traffic getting home. Do you think this woman can actually give her 100% to her family at night? Is it possible for such a woman to do that? And all the while her kids are being brought up by daycare centers or nannies or domestic workers. And at times, this is from very young, from an infant, from infancy stages. So what the child misses out is actually the first madrasa of the child, and that's the lap of the mother, where everything is built on there. And you ask any father who's persistent on sending his child to university to earn, to become a high flyer, to send his daughter to university to become a high flyer in career, then if you ask him if he is happy with his grandchild's first steps being seen or words being uttered, if he is happy with that being witnessed by a domestic worker or a daycare center, obviously the answer is no. So why are we sending them through the whole process to bring them back to where we want? Doesn't make sense. So now the greatest and most detrimental harm of all of this is the command of Allah Ta'ala, which were broken along all the way, the consequences of this disobedience. So in Islam, however, Islam has honored women. In Islam, a woman is born a princess in a home and she grows up to be a queen. Prior to marriage, her father is responsible for her. He sees to all her needs. After marriage, it's the responsibility of her husband. And in the event of him not being around, either due to death or separation, then the responsibility shifts back to her father and her close family members, her brother, etc. So Islam honors her by allowing her to stay in the safety of her home, and Islam sends men out to work for her. to see to her every need. So now, where did it go wrong? Where did it go wrong? You see, this brainwashing. This brainwashing has led to a fear in us that if you didn't go through the system, or you're not part of the system, then you won't be able to earn, and you won't be able to live. So what does Allah Ta'ala say in the Quran Majeed? وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Instruct your family to perform salah, and you yourself be steadfast on salah, perform salah, as with all its hukuk, with all its rights as it's supposed to be. لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقَهُ. We don't ask you for this. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُ. We provide the sustenance. وَالْعَقِبَةُ لِلتَّقْوَى. During the final illness of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Uthman radiallahu anhu approaches him, amongst the other questions is, Uthman radiallahu anhu asks him, would you like a pension? And Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu replies that, no, I didn't need it in my lifetime, I don't need it in my death. So Uthman radiallahu anhu tells him, but you can leave it for your wife and kids. So Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu replies, and these are the words, verily I have taught them something, that if they recite it, they shall never be afflicted by poverty. I have heard the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that whoever recites Surah Al-Waqi'ah every night, poverty shall never afflict him. What's the lesson? What's the message here? Iman and yaqeen can only be on the words of Allah Ta'ala and on deen. Right? And what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. The message here is remain steadfast on the two commands of Allah Ta'ala, inculcate taqwa, and your deen, your dunya, your qabr and your akhirah will all be in order. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to sit in the company of those who see things exactly what they are, see them with things with the eyes of their heart. These are the environments. This is what the khanka is all about. This is what the effort of tazkiyah is about. To correct all these things. The iman being the first thing, yaqeen being the first thing, to inculcate the taqwa and everything that goes about it. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
One is we should make a lot of dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala protect us from all these fitnas. And we should frequent the majalis of the Ahlullah, the friends of Allah Ta'ala, that at the end of our life, Allah Ta'ala grants us death with Iman. Approximately in 1424, Mawlana Talha Sahib, he mentioned from Medina Sharif, he wrote to various ulama, and he said that at that time in the missionary schools, he said it was an attack on Iman. And he mentioned that the news has come to me that in a school what they would do, they would take a little child, and they will tell the little child to close his eyes. And then they will say, now ask your Allah to give you chocolate, to give you sweets, etc. So the child will ask, he'll say, open your eyes, see, there's nothing. They'll say, close your eyes, ask Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The child will open his eyes, nothing. And then they'll say, now close your eyes, ask Isa Al-Islam, Jesus Christ. And then the child will open his eyes. But there they already pressed the button. Today in Medina Sharif, you press one button, the umbrella opens. You press one button, the roof of the masjid opens. One button they press and everything falls from the top. Finished. The aqidah of the child is totally destroyed in the school. So it is the company of Ahlullah, Allah Ta'ala will protect our iman at the time of death.